Our text for this evening that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting is verse 4 of Psalm number 41. Let me read that verse with you again. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Now, it is a fact that sin is something that causes terrible havoc in both the bodies and also in the souls and minds of mankind. You think back to creation, to the dawn of time, God created man sinless. He created him pure and holy and happy and perfect. Indeed, speaking of God's creation, the Bible says, behold, it was very good. That just does not apply to the physical form of God's creation, but indeed it also applies to man, as God created man from the dust of the ground. He was perfect. He was good. He was without sin. But then in Genesis chapter number 3, we read of Satan attacking God's creation, attacking our first parents, Adam and Eve, and leading them into sin. The result was that the pure gold of man's innocence has become exceedingly dim. And as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve, sin is something that has spread throughout the entire human race. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world. And the result has been catastrophic upon all mankind and down throughout the ages of time. Yes, we can say tonight without fear of contradiction that sin has marred and defiled the beauty of mankind. Yes, sin is something that affects the whole man, body, soul, and mind. Sin is something that has brought sorrow and pain and ruin and death and condemnation upon all mankind. And friends, tonight in this gospel meeting, it is this awful reality of sin in his own life that the psalmist David is praying about in her text here in verse 4 of Psalm 41, where he says, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. You'll see from what David says in the rest of the psalm that he pens the psalm at a time of bodily affliction and a time of persecution from his enemies. Look at what he says in verses 5 to 9 of the psalm. He says, mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speak of vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. And all that hate me whisper together against me, do they devise my hurt? An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. It was a time of affliction, a time of persecution from enemies round about him. Indeed, it has been said that a time of sickness is favorable to the duty of self-examination. And this was so with David the psalmist on this occasion in his life. He examines his own life in light of the circumstances going on around him at this particular time. And as he examines his own life, he sees his life to be sinful. He sees his life to be imperfect before Almighty God. And on account of that, he prays in our text. Indeed, he earnestly prays for deliverance from his sin. For he says, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Yes, David was a man here in the psalm who was no doubt concerned about his physical needs and the things that concerned his bodily infirmity at that particular time. But over and beyond that concern about his physical needs, his chief concern at this time was his spiritual needs, the needs of his heart, the needs of his soul. This was his chief concern at this time. Hence he prays, Lord, be merciful unto me. heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. People in our meeting tonight, yes, you and I, each and every one of us may have many temporal needs, physical needs in life, things that concern our home, our family, ourselves, and they may be all very legitimate and needful in their proper place. But people tonight, young and old in this gathering, our chief concern also, like David on this occasion, should be our spiritual needs, the needs of our heart, the needs of our soul, indeed the need of God's salvation within from sin. And friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, he emphasizes that tremendous need. And he says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Therefore, tonight it is David's prayer for deliverance from sin that I want us to consider. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, I pray that as we consider what David has to say in this verse on this matter, that you will see your need tonight. And not only will you see your need tonight, but you'll come and bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your own and personal Savior. Yes, he prays here for deliverance from sin, and it's a prayer that has many important and vital lessons for each one of us to consider in this gospel meeting tonight. You'll notice, first of all, here with me that David's prayer, it really shows that man's sin is an awful disease. It shows us that man's sin is an awful disease. Think again of our text. He says, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. And with those words there in our text, we see how David sees sin to be a disease that affects the soul of man. People, yes, can have terrible physical diseases, and our heart goes out to those who have to bear with physical infirmity and sickness and illness of the bodily frame. But people, the most severe disease, the most awful of diseases, is the disease of sin that affects the heart and the soul of mankind. Oh, people, this is what our sin is tonight. How we need to realize that sin is a disease. Sin is a disease that affects our hearts. Sin is a disease that affects our entire being, our whole being. People today dismiss the word sin. Many deny it and say, oh, it's this, it's that, it's the other. Sin is an awful disease of the heart. The Bible says, as a result of that disease, that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. By speaking of man's sinful condition, the Bible says this. It says, the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And there Isaiah the prophet uses those words to depict the awful effects and the awful reality of sin in the heart of man. If we turn, please, in our Bible over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. And here we have the Lord Jesus in that chapter speaking to us about the sinful heart of man and the awful effects of this disease of sin in the heart of man. And look at what he says in Matthew chapter 15 and verses 19 and the beginning of verse 20. He says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And there the Lord is speaking of the awful defilement of the disease of sin within the heart of all mankind. There is no exceptions here, no exemptions here. Oh, people, realize tonight that sin is an awful disease. It's the most terrible of diseases there is to affect mankind. You know the effects of sin and the sinful disease. Sin, yes, it affects our understanding of the things of God. You see, the Bible says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Because of the disease of sin in the heart of man, yes, you and I have no natural desire for the things of God. Yes, my sin affects our understanding of the things of God. Something else we can say, sin affects our very memory. Yes, every single one of us in the meeting tonight, we're quick to remember evil and that which is sinful and that which is wrong. But oh, how slow we are to remember the things of God and the things that are right and true in the sight of God. Now, speaking of the wicked, the Bible says, God is not in all his thoughts. Sin affects our memory. Sin also means that our wills by nature are opposed to the ways of God, and our wills by nature are inclined towards that which is evil and wrong in the sight of God. What does the Bible say of mankind because of the disease of sin within his heart? The Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And even people, our very consciences by nature, are defiled by sin. My speaking of sinful man, the Bible says, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Oh, men and women tonight, young people in our meeting, let me say this is the case with every single one of us by nature. For the Bible says there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our whole being, from the very crown of our head to the foot, so to speak, is scarred and ruined and affected by this terrible disease of sin. Oh, it is an awful disease, the disease of sin. Our sin brings trouble into our own lives. That's one of the fruits of sin. It brings trouble into our lives. Turn back there to Psalm number 38, just back a little bit from our Bible reading. Notice here what David says about the effect of sin in his own life. Psalm 38, verses 4, 5, and 6 of the Psalm. He says, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." Why is he troubled? Why is he mourning all the day long? Because of the folly of his sin, because of the burden of his iniquities that he tells us there that have gone over his head. And my, it goes without saying, dear people, that our sin brings trouble to our lives. Our sin brings trouble to others as well, to others around us in life, whoever they are. Those that we rub shoulders with day by day, sin brings trouble into their lives as well. And through what we do because of sin. Turn in your Bible over to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And look with me, please, there at what Paul says about the effects of sin in a person's life, affecting even the lives of others. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19, 20, and 21 of the chapter, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." There Paul lists certain things that not only affect the person who perpetrates them, but also affects the person whom they sin against. Sin brings trouble to our lives. It brings trouble to other people's lives. But people even more serious than that, and this is something we need to understand, that our sin is deeply offensive and grieving to God. God who is holy, God who is infinitely holy. What does the Bible say about you and I because of our sin? It says we are all as an unclean thing. Our sin grieves God. Turn your Bible back to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Go down to verse 5 and verse 6 of that chapter. And there you see right at the very beginning of time, and it has not changed. Sin grieved God before the flood, and sin today grieves God And man's sin today grieves God as much today as it did in the day prior to the flood. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth." Notice it. "And it grieved him at his heart." Sin is something that grieves the very heart of God. What else can we say about this terrible disease of sin? It leads to death. The Bible says, "Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Also, we can say further tonight that sin leads to God's judgment. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And that judgment speaks of the judgment of God upon man, the sinner, for his sin. And then ultimately we can say that our sin, it leads to hell itself. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. Oh, friend, tonight in our meeting, in light of Scripture, please understand, please see that your sin is an awful disease. It's a disease that affects every part of your life, every part of your soul and being, and it leads to terrible consequences, awful consequences for time and for eternity. And this is what David realized when he cried out in her text, "Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." My, he saw his sin to be an awful disease, a terrible disease. Notice something else tonight from our text. We can say in the second place that David's prayer here, it really shows man's inability to save himself from his sin. The very fact here that David prays in our text, "Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul," it proves here that David sees this. He recognizes this. He realizes his own inability to deal with the problem of this awful disease of sin within his heart and soul and being. You think tonight of David. Who was David? David was a mighty soldier. David was the king of Israel. He was a man of considerable wealth and gifts and talents. He was a Jew. He was devoutly religious, but he knows that all these things cannot do anything to save him and to deliver him from his sin. Hence he prays in our text tonight. He says, "Lord, be merciful unto me and heal my soul." Oh, he knew man's inability. He knew his own inability to deal with the awful problem and disease of sin within his heart. And friend, tonight in our meeting, let me say this, that if you are to be saved, there's nothing more important, I tell you, in life that's seen of time than being saved. If you are to be saved and right with God, you also must see your total inability, man's total inability to deal with the problem of sin in your life. Please understand tonight that money cannot buy you salvation. The Bible says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath." Our own self-righteousness cannot merit our salvation. The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." Understand also tonight that your own good works, no matter how good they might be in your eyes or in the eyes of mankind or friends and neighbors, all our good works done with the best will and intention cannot deliver you and I from our sins. No. The Bible says salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And also we can say further tonight that all the religious rites and ceremonies of man cannot save you and I from our sin. Religion is of no avail to save us from the awful disease and ruin of our sin. The Bible says, "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Friend, in our meeting tonight, please realize that there's only one who can save you from your sin. Who is that one? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. And as the sinless Son of God, he came to this earth, the scene of time, the greatest fact of history. And he died upon the cross. He shed his precious blood to make an atonement for sin. And by the shedding of his blood, he provided a way of salvation from sin for sinful man. What a mercy God sent his Son to be our Savior. The Bible speaks of that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, but now, once in the end of the world, have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There is only one sacrifice that can put away our sin. That's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the eternal incarnate Son of God. Turning your Bible over to Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter 53 is a chapter all about Christ, all about his sacrifice, what he did to bring about salvation. Look at Isaiah chapter 53 and the verse number 5. It says of Christ, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Friend, tonight unsaved, there's the remedy for your sin. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and him crucified. And this is what David realized. This is what he understood. He realized that the Lord was the only one who could deliver him from his sins. Hence he prays in our text, Lord, be merciful unto me and heal my soul. The hymn writer speaks of the Lord Jesus and says, to the uttermost, Jesus saves. Earlier on, we were singing about Christ, and the message of the hymn writer was, there's a Savior from all sin. That Savior is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Peter also highlights this same great truth when he speaks of Christ. And he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, Christ is the only Savior from sin. If you are to be saved and right with God, this is a great truth of the gospel that you must see. You must realize. You must understand. See, yes, your own inability to deal with the problem of sin in your life. See that Christ is the only remedy. He is the only physician for the sin-sick soul. Yes, in this prayer of David, he sees and speaks of man's inability to save. My speaks of the awful disease of sin. But notice something else in our text tonight. David, yes, his prayer, it shows man's need. Man's need to repent of his sin and to confess his sin to God, to the Lord. At the end of verse 4, notice exactly here what David prays to the Lord. Notice what he says. He says, for I have sinned against thee. And here he confesses his sin to the Lord. He acknowledges that his sin was against the Lord. He does not hide it or excuse it or cover it up. You turn over to Psalm number 51, you'll see there how David makes a similar confession. Look at Psalm 51, verses 3 to 5 of the Psalm. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Here's David before the Lord, and he says in verse 4, against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And my such a confession here from the lips of the psalmist David, what does it show us? It tells us of contrition of heart. It shows repentance in his life. It shows a desire to forsake his sin, to be delivered from his sin, and to give up his sin. Friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. If you are to be right with God and be saved from your sin, you too must repent of your sins. You must confess your sins to God, to the Lord God of heaven. This is something, dear friend, that God calls you to do. He says in his word, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? None of us are exempt from this call to repentance. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Friend, to be saved and to be right with God, you must take the sinner's place before God. Acknowledge your sin before the Lord. Confess it to the Lord. Be willing to repent of your sin and forsake your sin before the Lord. Turn in your Bible over to 1 John chapter 1 and the verses 8 and 9. And look at what John says here. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible speaks of Christ and says that Jesus came to save from sin. He came to save his people from their sins. That speaks of repentance, of forsaking of sin, a casting off of sin, a confessing of sin to the Lord. Friend, to be saved, to be right with God, you must take the sinner's place before God. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? To be saved, you must repent of your sins and confess it to God. It has been said that sins concealed by man are never cancelled by God. And this is what David does in the psalm. He repents of his sin. He confesses it to the Lord. David here is in the Lord's presence. He's before the Lord and he says, be merciful unto me, for I have sinned against thee. He's before the Lord here as a repentant sinner. And friend, to be saved, to be right with God, you must take the sinner's place before Almighty God. Notice one final thought here in our text tonight. We can say further that David's prayer here shows us man's great need to trust in the Lord alone for salvation from sin. Look at our text. Look at the entirety of this verse. David is in prayer before the Lord and he says, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. He's talking here to the Lord. He's speaking to the Lord. He's doing business with the Lord. And every word in this verse, it shows us here that David was trusting in the Lord alone to deliver him from his sin and to save him from his sin. His faith, his trust was in the Lord alone for salvation. Dear friend, this is what you must do also if you are to be saved. If you are to be right with God as a repentant sinner, you must look to Christ. You must trust in Christ. Trust in Christ alone for your salvation from sin. By faith alone, you must ask the Lord to save you from your sin, to blot out all your sins by his precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse of us from all sin. The Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Think of the preaching of John the Baptist. He spoke of Christ and he says of Christ, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He encouraged the people to look to Christ as repentant sinners, to put their faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Friend, tonight, if you're to be saved and right with God, you must take the sinner's place. Confess your sin as a repentant sinner before the Lord. And likewise, put your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. And praise God, when you trust Christ as Savior, God, yes, will pardon. He will pardon all your sins. Turning your Bible over, please, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1 and go down with me, please, there to the verse number 7 of the chapter. Notice there what Paul speaks of to those who come to Christ by faith as a repentant sinner and trust him. He says of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. When you trust Christ as Savior, God pardons, God cancels, God covers all your sin. He blots them out by the precious blood of Christ. If you turn back in your Bible, just back from our Bible reading a little tonight to Psalm number 32, just back a few chapters from the psalm that we've read, Psalm 32, look at how it begins. Psalm 32, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Blessed, that means happy. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, covered. How is it forgiven? How is it covered? By the blood of Christ. Nothing else. The hermitor says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Glory to God. Christ has come. Christ has died. He has shed his blood as a ransom for sin. You come as a poor and needy sinner to Christ. You trust him as your Savior. Confess your sins to him. Your sins will be covered, blotted out by the blood of the Lamb. When you trust Christ as Savior, God will give you grace. Grace to live for him. Grace to live the Christian life for his honor and for his glory. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And my, when you trust Christ as Savior, God will save you from a lost eternity in hell. He'll save you from going down into the pit. He'll one day take you to heaven, to that place of many mansions that we were singing about earlier on in our meeting. The Bible says this is the record that God have given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Friend, tonight that's what is offered to you in the gospel. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, pardon for sin, peace with God, grace to live the Christian life. And as the hermitor says, the blessed assurance, the glorious assurance of eternal life, a home in heaven one day, when you shall see Christ and be with Christ and be like Christ forevermore. You might ask the question tonight, "Preacher, when should I trust Christ as Savior?" There's only one answer to that question. That is now, tonight. Now, tonight in this gospel meeting. The Bible says, "Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart." The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You and I are not guaranteed tomorrow. We have no guarantee we'll ever see tomorrow. And friend, if you die in your sin as an unrepentant sinner before the Lord, your soul will be lost in hell forevermore. The day of grace, opportunity will be over and gone for you forever and ever and ever. In light of that awful reality of the certainty of death, friend, tonight, come tonight to Christ. Trust him as your Savior. Praise God, salvation from sin is offered to you, not through self, not through man, not through this church or any other church or religions of men, but by faith alone. In the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the Savior of sinners. The hymn writer says, "Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now." Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, but now, tonight. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Come now to Christ. Ask him to save you. Cleanse away your sins, and praise God, he will not turn you away. His glorious promise in the gospel is this, that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. We'll close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 221 in your hymn book. 221, "Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word." 221 will stand as we sing. Thank you. stand as we sing. Close our meeting with a word of prayer, but there's one tonight and there's concern in your heart and your soul. You have that desire in your heart to be saved, to know the Lord, to know God's salvation. And we urge you tonight to come to the Lord, to trust Him. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be no hurry away, but be glad to open up the word of God with you. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy presence. We thank Thee, Father, for help given in the ministry of Thy word. Lord, write Thy word and write Thy truth upon every heart, upon every soul. We thank the Lord for each and every one in the gathering tonight who is saved, who can rejoice in the Lord as their Savior, as their Redeemer, who can rejoice in the great hope of life eternal and a home in heaven. But for any, Lord, in the meeting tonight still not saved, still out of Christ, speak to them tonight. May they come to that point in their life's experience like David of old. And they cried, Lord, be merciful unto me, for I have sinned. May they come to that place of acknowledging their need as a sinner before the Lord and call upon the Lord for mercy and for salvation. Answer prayer. Part us with Thy fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Speak on, we beseech of Thee, while the voice of man is silent. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit with all who know and love Thee this night and always. Amen. Amen.